Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19, these are God's words. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant. God's plan for his people, for his family, is that we would participate in the nature and fellowship of that family, or probably character is better, the character and fellowship of that family. He begins, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to, and the name that he uses for God in this particular case is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds us that God is triune, that God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, which you know because the name into which you were baptized when you were added to the covenant household of God is, you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he ties, as the Bible often does, Jesus' only begotten sonship to our adopted sonship. So just like Jesus rose again from the dead, and he said, he goes to his God and our God, and his Father and our Father, highlighting not only his incarnation, that he's become fully man, but also that by his incarnation, by his becoming man and dying for us and rising again from the dead, that we who believe in Jesus may know God as our Father. And it is especially his Holy Spirit that teaches us to know Jesus as our Savior, to know Jesus as our God, to know Jesus as the only begotten Son, our elder brother. And therefore, it is the Spirit who the Bible calls in one place the Spirit of Sonship. And in another place, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of his Son. And in those two places, in Romans 8, and then again in Galatians, it tells us that the Holy Spirit makes us call God our Abba, our Father. This is something that Jesus was praying for in John 17 when he was talking about the fellowship that he has with the Father from all eternity. And then he's praying that we would be brought into that fellowship, that we would be not just one with one another, but one with him, as he and the Father are one, that unity and fellowship and love and delighting in one another that God, the Father, Son, and Spirit have had from everlasting and to everlasting, that we would have that not just with one another, but with him. And so he starts in our passage in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And the fact that there are saints on earth who know God's love imperfectly, isn't that marvelous? Everything you know about the love of God for you, everything you have ever been moved to feel by the Holy Spirit as you thought about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ giving his only begotten Son for you, everything the Holy Spirit has ever made you to feel as you thought about the Lord Jesus loving you and giving himself for you, that's imperfect. But there are those who now are in heaven, and they know that love in a fuller way. And that is where God is bringing us. The end of the passage, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So God's plan to bring us into his family. Jesus' prayer that we would enjoy that fellowship with one another and with God that comes from the fellowship and love that the triune God has had in himself from all eternity. It will be answered, and it will be answered by our knowing the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Our growing up into the knowing of Christ's love for us is the way that we become filled with all the fullness of God, which if God hadn't planned it and Jesus hadn't prayed for it, and the apostle here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that wasn't telling us that he prays for it, we would rightly think it was blasphemy, wouldn't we, to say that people might be filled with all the fullness of God. But that's how the apostle talks here. So what needs to happen between now and then? We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're part of the family. We have the family name put upon us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we don't yet know the love of Christ like we should, like we will. And therefore, we are not filled with all the fullness of God, like one day we shall be. Which means, because God is infinite, that for unending ages we will continue to be filled more and more. What needs to happen between now and then? What is the apostle praying for? Verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit. Why? So we can kill 4 Philistine giants, and even one with 24 fingers and toes, like we'll hear in 2 Samuel in a couple of days? No. We need power for something even greater than that. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So he's praying for the Father, to the Father, and he's praying for the almighty, powerful working of the Spirit, and he's praying for union with Christ in our very hearts, that we wouldn't have the greatest strength that we can have, but that we would have the strength that is the strength of Jesus himself, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to what? To comprehend, to understand, to start to get our minds around with all the saints, even those who are in heaven, especially those who are in heaven. What is the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge? This tells us two things. One, that one of the hardest things in your life is going to be genuinely to know the love of Christ. That the love of Christ for you is such a great, limitless thing, that one of the hardest things in our life is to know it. In fact, if we knew the love of Christ for us, then we could endure anything, right? You remember that from Romans chapter 8, where the love of Christ and the love of God in Christ are tied together? Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then Romans 8:39, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's the one thing, that if we know the love of Christ, which is the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, because Christ is God, that we will be able to face trouble, persecution, death, demons, anything, famine, plague, anything. But the hardest thing isn't those other things. The hardest thing is to know the love of Christ. It takes the miraculous, powerful working of the Holy Spirit, and it takes Christ dwelling in your heart. He's the one who perfectly knows the love of God, right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was facing God, and the Word was God. And so what you need most of all is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, working on you, working in you, that you would know the love of Christ. And that is what enables you to face anything and walk rightly in anything, is that knowledge of Christ's love. So we know that it's the hardest thing, so don't be surprised if your heart is cold and dull, and if you don't understand it, and you go through stretches in your life where you feel like you barely have any sense at all that God loves you or that Christ loves you. And your theology will rebuke you at that point, because you'll say, but remember the cross, and you won't feel it. You'll feel the misery and the coldness and the deadness. But the other thing is, not only is it the hardest thing, but it's something that the triune God is committed to in your life and that he has taught you to pray for. So when the believer feels like he doesn't know the love of God or the love of Christ, like he knows that he should and he wishes that he would, what can he do? Well, he could do exactly what the apostle is doing here, can't he? He could pray to the Father for the powerful working of the Spirit and the indwelling presence of the Son, so that Almighty God is at hand, ready to listen to you cry out, and you can know that this is what he is committed to. And even before you begin to know or feel the love of Christ, you can know that you will know the love of Christ. And we can cling to him by faith until he increases our knowledge, until at last we are filled with all the fullness of God. My dear children, you may not always feel like you know the love of Christ, but you have Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. And you can know that you will know the love of Christ. And you can bring that certainty to God and plead that he would do as he has said in his word. Let's ask him to do that now. Oh, Father, how am I the earthly father of these children to press upon them the claims of this word when so often I feel like I know so little of Christ's love? And so I thank you that you have given me this word and you have given them this word together with me, that you've given it to my wife. For this is our greatest need and this is our greatest challenge, to know, to comprehend, to lay hold of how much Christ has loved us. And when we start to think what we could do and how we could live if we just had that knowledge, we are eager for it, and yet ashamed that we're not even as eager as we should be. So we look to you for all of it. Grant, according to the riches of your glory, that we would be strengthened with your power through your Spirit in our inner man, that he would give us that strength that only comes by Christ dwelling in our hearts, that this would be the foundation of our life. We praise you, O Triune God, that you have revealed so much of who you are, that we might lay hold of you, and we pray that you would fill us with your fullness in the way that this passage describes. Pray, Lord, especially for any of my children who are in one of those seasons of having a hard time knowing your love for them, and for when they come into those seasons, grant to them to know that they will know your love for them even if they don't know. Grant that the season would be short, the work of your Spirit would be powerful, and that understanding and rejoicing in and being strengthened by the knowledge of Christ's love for them would last not only their whole life long, but perfectly in eternity. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.